SD, you coward!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin, and join me this week as ever, I've got Mr. WrestleMania himself, Nick Davey.
Yep, that is me. delighted to be here, and I don't really know what I'm talking about at the moment. Obviously very happy to be announced that I'm going to WrestleMania.
So jealous.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. I say, would ignore the fact that I agreed to it when I was 6 points down on Saturday night. but nonetheless, money transferred over, accommodation and flight sorted. And now it's surreal that I'm actually living up to probably my biggest childhood dream of all time.
The main event we've talked since the series started, Nakamura versus AJ, needs to be main event. We don't want any of this Brock Roman business. We want Nakamura AJ as the leader.
As I was saying, could I make or break me?
and join us again, we have author Oliver Newman. How you doing, sir? Evening, Oliver.
Yeah, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks. How are you?
I'm very well. So you did the live Twitter for us for the pay per view. How did you find that?
Yeah, it's always good fun. I think I enjoyed the live Twitter. The live tweeting more so than the show, in all honesty.
Right, so what have we done this week? So you've interviewed the owner of Young Blood Wrestling. How'd that go?
Yeah, it went in the end, so I'm quite happy about that. But the lengths we had to go to get it done was frustrating. But the listens that we've had, you know, we've just hit 100. You told me earlier, so I guess it was all worth it. Well, in the end.
Yeah, I found it a very entertaining interview. I found the most interesting bit, I thought, was the bit where he was talking about what he hates about indie wrestling, was what I found the most interesting.
I think the key thing is, you know, wrestling is subjective, isn't it, really? Yeah. As long as we're respectful of everyone's kind of favourite style, you know, you don't have to like it, but just respect it. And for him, he doesn't like that style, but I think the argument he put forward was fair, and like I said, subjective.
Yeah, now I interviewed the owner of Chaos Wrestling, Dave Mercy. We discussed the upcoming show this Saturday on the 28th, Coalition of Chaos, where they have an 8-women tournament. It's got Viper, and it's got, what's her name, Alicia Raymond, was it, from the May Young Classic? It's got them two in it, and Delia Black. So it should be a really good tournament. And it's also headlined by Pete Dunne, and Keith Lee is also on the card, so it was a really good chat. We also discussed Progress's Wembley show, Five Star Wrestling, getting the free sport TV deal over Preston City Wrestling. And then we finished the conversation by discussing how UK promoters really feel about WWE doing a UK-based show. It was a really interesting chat. Almost an hour long.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to it, Chris. On the way to and from work, that was a good way to kill the time.
Yeah, same here. Usually it's just a case of staring at girls on the train, so it was quite a time.
Alright, so before we get into the review, a few stories caught my eye this week. So, since the last show, Neville has reportedly left the company. Nick, are you disappointed by this news?
Obviously we were surprised at the time, but then when you go back and maybe look at that promo when he quit, or his last promo on Raw, you can sort of see, I don't know if it's me looking a bit more into cafe, but in the way he was talking, it sort of maybe sound like, thinking back on it, it maybe sound like he was on his way out. But no, it's obviously really disappointing news, because I think over the last, since he's returned, as a heel, I think he's been absolute quality. Obviously, completely put the cruiserweight division on the map, made it relevant, in all honesty. I mean, that's no disrespect to the cruiserweights, because they probably have got the best wrestlers on the whole of the WWE. But the actual division, the storylines and everything's been pretty shambolic. But as I say, Neville's sort of made it relevant and everything with when he's been on there. He's put like great matches, obviously, with especially with Austin Aries. So that really disappointed, but as I say, if you're not going to be booked correctly and you want to go elsewhere, then obviously we've seen it with wrestlers such as Cody Rhodes, obviously CM Punk. So it's obviously clearly a decision that he wants to go and go elsewhere.
Oliver, do you think it still could be a work?
I think the key thing with Neville and with the Cruiserweight division in general, there's a glass ceiling, isn't there?
Yeah.
The best thing WWE could have done once Neville lost the Cruiserweight title was move him out and possibly onto a few of the Miz. That's what they probably should do with Cruiserweights, the Jack Gallaghers, for example. You know, he was in the Royal Rumble, you know, at the beginning of the year and stuff. So there's a way to integrate them and to move the card, and if that's not going to happen, you know, Neville's kind of carried the division on his back, by, like Nick said, by having amazing matches all year long. There was nothing more he could do, really, in the Cruiserweight division. And, you know, from what I read online and stuff, he was booked to lose to Enzo in a throwaway match. Mm. And obviously, not very happy at that. Didn't really see that he was going to, you know, be moved out or up the card in the, you know, the near future, and you know, has made the decision he's made. I don't know. You know, honestly, we don't know. We're not working backstage in WWE, but the fact that he hasn't been on the show since shows that there's definitely an issue there. I hope he, you know, it's just a leave of absence. He comes back to the company and then, you know, goes for the IC title and goes from there, because he's incredibly talented. He worked, you know, on the British wrestling scene for so long, and, you know, it was like a dream to go to WWE, and it's a hell of a shame if it's ended this way.
Yeah, Marty Scurll recently tweeted out a picture of him and Neville, the message, "I need a junior tag team partner." What an amazing team they'll be if they both went in the current gimmicks.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, the New Japan Junior Tag League, isn't that coming up? Or the Noah Tag League is coming up as well. So, you know, maybe, not obviously Marty can't be in that, but, you know, Neville could be in that kind of Junior Tag League and stuff. And I think what's been said online, if I'm correct, he wants to, you know, wrestle Kota Ibushi and so on and so forth, really. Mm. But are WWE going to let him leave? You know, are they going to try and have him for breach of contract and so on and so forth? It's you know, it's muddy waters, isn't it, really? We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We can only say what we've kind of read. So, yeah, hope it's just a storm in a teacup, really, and he's back in the ring before we know it.
Nia Jax has also been missing from TV, but her circumstances are not very clear. Some people saying that she's been given a leave of absence, some people saying that she wants to leave. But in a Q&A session on Facebook, Kurt Angle addressed both situations, saying, "I don't know about Neville, but Nia should be okay to go again soon. They're both important talents for the roster."
I think the key thing with Nia Jax as well, if you look at how she's been booked, I'm not quite sure what more was needed apart from a championship run. You look at the match from No Mercy, wasn't it? It was the 5-way.
Yeah.
She was booked really strong, and that's if she's gone on to leave, which we don't know. You know, we've been told it's personal reasons that she's off TV and stuff. But you've just been booked really strongly. You haven't won the match, but you've you know, you look really, really good in the match, and you're going to get a future title shot. It's just a real, really strange one, in all honesty. If she's left, if she wants to leave the company on the back of not being booked correctly, I'm not sure what more WWE could have done except give her the women's title. Everything else, I thought she's been booked really well. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with what you just said there about Nia. I think the booking's been perfectly fine. And yeah, you said to say, yeah, the only thing missing really was maybe a bit of a title run, but obviously, as I say, I think she's been booked correctly. I think obviously she's still quite young as well, so it's time. She needs the title now. Mm. She's got plenty of time there to get the title, even if it's even getting on the SmackDown brand as well in the future. So she's, as I say, I think it's a bit of a strange one, but I think it personally will be just the legal absence.
Alright, so other reports from PW Insider are claiming that WWE may be in discussions of ITV about airing a weekly WWE show dubbed WWE King of the Ring. What do you guys think of that?
I think it's excellent news, personally. I think, obviously, we've seen how good the UK stuff is when they've been on the WWE Network, so to get it on free TV for everyone in the UK, I think it will... I mean, whilst the world of sport wrestling wasn't too bad, I think if you've got the name WWE in there as well, it will just put British wrestling completely... It couldn't put it any more on the map. They've been trying, really. And as I say, if this doesn't work, I don't know what will. People that don't want to watch wrestling. So I think it'll be excellent news for all, really. And I really think it'll be excellent. Obviously, you can have the UK title on there every week. And you can also use that as almost like an NXT platform as well to get some guys over to the main roster as well. I think it'll be brilliant.
It's not a lot of details have been released about it, but does the name bother either of you? King of the Ring?
Fair enough. That could maybe be a bit strange. But then, to be fair, when they do the King of the Ring tournament, it hasn't really been that good for years, really. The last one was Barrett won it, am I right in saying?
Yeah, he beat Neville in the final.
That wasn't great.
That was a network exclusive.
That done before SmackDown, wasn't it?
It was on the network.
I didn't think that was great. So, the name was annoying, but I think it could also actually be, give the King of the Ring sign a bit more to bring almost back the prestige of the King of the Ring. I know it's obviously not going to be the King of the Ring tournament, but it'll give the name a bit more value. But I think it'll be a great, just fantastic news then.
Do you think the name could be just reinforcing American stereotypes of Brits? It could probably be a medieval style set and get rid of belts and they'll wear crowns and robes when they're champion and stuff.
Yeah, that's probably always been more like the Game of Thrones episode, the King of the North, it'll be like the King of the Ring, sort of thing. Everyone could be in swords, sort of thing. China, whoever wins the matches, they'll push out the King of the Ring. Mm. But no, I don't have too much complaints about that.
I think the key thing that we haven't discussed there is the conflict of interest to reveal with Sky Sports.
Yeah.
How are they possibly going to run a show on ITV?
Oh, yeah.
They don't share talent, possibly, don't they? I don't know how it would work.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we've obviously... I know it's a complete different subject from wrestling, but you see... There's so much stuff going on. For instance, Ian Wright. I mean, he appears on every he's on ITV, BBC, BT, and Sky. Mm. So I don't know whether they seem to be more relaxed about contracts and stuff now. Whereas before, back in the day, it would be solely contracted to one of the channels. But say Ian Wright, you see him on everything. There's a few of them. Gary Lineker's obviously on BT and on BBC. So whether that will have anything, that could just be a different UK thing. So I think maybe it might not matter.
I think the key thing, though, if it's on terrestrial TV, that would be the most important thing. You know, honestly, like you've said, Nick, if people aren't going to watch wrestling when it's on one of the free-to-air channels, then they're never going to watch it, really. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Hi, this is Dave Mercy, owner of Pro Wrestling Chaos, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
So we'll go on to the review. So before we start, were either of you disappointed that the main event was a gimmick match?
Yeah, I thought they could have made one of the women's matches, maybe, especially the women's title match. Maybe they could have made that into a stipulation of like a ladder or a table match.
Mm.
And it didn't really help that all the titles were obviously no titles really defended apart from maybe even the cruiserweight. You could have done the cruiserweight as a ladder match, maybe, especially Kalisto, obviously quite a high bar. They certainly should have could have put one or two like a table or ladder match, not so much like a chairs match, but
I think the key thing was when we talked about Charlotte and Natalia in the last SmackDown pay-per-view, it's kind of escaped my mind, but if that had been if SmackDown Live had the TLC pay-per-view, then we might have saw more gimmick matches, you would have seen a chairs match for the Charlotte Natalya match, for example. Mm. But unfortunately, they hadn't built any stories around the different elements you can have in the match, apart from the TLC main event.
I've seen arguments from both sides. Some people saying it's good that only the main event gets the gimmick because it makes them more special. But we've been brought up for years that TLC, every match is a gimmick, hardcore match. Even throw stairs in there sometimes.
But it's too much though, isn't it, Chris? In all honesty, if you keep watching, it's like what Daniel Valentine, the young good wrestling promoter, said in the interview that I did with him. If you give them the same match throughout the card, it makes it less special and it possibly hinders the next match. So the way I look at it, the only thing with the main event is. The numbers didn't make sense, in all honesty. I thought Strowman was in a position that he was wasted. Obviously, we'll talk about it in review and stuff. But this has been my concern since before the actual show took place. So, I'm content that they used the TLC stipulation for the main event. And if you haven't built up the other matches to have a stipulation in them, and you just throw in a stipulation, then I don't think it would have worked, in all honesty. And, if you look at the TLC pay-per-view from last year with SmackDown Live, Kalisto versus Baron Corbin was a chairs match because they used chairs. Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss was a tables match because they used tables. Dean Ambrose against AJ Styles for the WWE title was a TLC match because they used tables, ladders and chairs in the feud. This hasn't happened this year. That's why they went the way they did.
Alright, so our opening contest was Oscar making her debut against Emma, defeating Emma. The undefeated former NXT Women's Champion was given a grand entrance and a showcase debut. Oliver?
I think this is the biggest upset in wrestling history.
Biggest upset. Oliver, were you glad that Oscar didn't just come in and run through Emma in 3 minutes, or do you prefer it to be a squash match?
No, absolutely chuffed that Emma went toe-to-toe with Oscar. One, it made it a really good match. I've read online and stuff, and they're like, this even Stevens booking. As a fan of professional wrestling, I really don't mind about Even Stevens booking. There's going to be a winner and a loser, a feud will begin and end. I think people look into it way too much. I'm there for the entertainment aspect, and Emma's one of the finest wrestlers in the women's division. Probably one of, if not the best wrestler in the women's division, to be honest. So to go toe to toe with Asuka, she didn't lose anything. Asuka didn't lose anything either. And obviously won in the end. So, smart booking all around. You've built up Emma, you've built Asuka up, and she's won the match, but no one's lost there. And it was a really, really good opening match. I enjoyed it a lot.
So if you're thinking about it, it should be like when you're in football where you get promoted. It's harder when you go up, so you shouldn't be smashing teams 5-6-0 if you get promoted from the Championship to the Premier League. It should be more of a challenge.
No, it's just 3-0 at West Ham.
I was wondering how long it's going to take you to get that in. You're not allowed to say what my scoreline was.
I don't follow the Championship. I have no idea what your scoreline was.
My friends with the game, because a few of them are Mill supporters.
Yeah, the less said about the game, the better, I think, lads.
Right, so next up was Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann against Jack Gallagher and Brian Kendrick. I've not a lot to say about this match. I love Gallagher's new heel theme. Nick, did you enjoy this match?
I did actually. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, it's obviously not a match that stands out. I presumed it was. I was surprised because obviously I watched it Monday night, so I didn't watch it live. I thought it was the pre-show match, so I was surprised when they came out. I thought it was done in the pre-show, so. But no, again, they're all good wrestlers, aren't they? So it was never going to be crap. I really like Jack Gallagher. He's actually better than I thought he would be as a heel. I think he's pretty good. I think it's a nice setup with him and Kendrick. Again, I mean, I don't know whether I'd quite like maybe to see Gallagher and Kendrick go on a good run, that maybe might even see them slowly go into like a tag team heel team. I know tag team division's very strong at the moment, so it could be a wild title, but it could certainly be signed. Or even with Kendrick, ever sort of, they can be together for a while. Kendrick, ever, when Kendrick sort of dies down a bit of rest, then he could be even his manager.
I think Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann could be a brilliant tag team. They went to a program with the Bar. I think they could have some smart, brilliant matches. But they can't, because they're cruiserweights. They don't mix with the main. So, I think they'll be a boss tag team.
There's your problem right there, Chris. Why can't they mix with the main roster?
They definitely can't.
If they're going to be a tag team, then they're surely going to go after the tag titles, unless... You know, they bring back the cruiserweight tag titles, I suppose.
It's not enough of them. So. But Cedric Alexander impressed me a lot in this match. I think they either need to move him into the title picture or move him to SmackDown. I think
he's got a good theme tune as well.
Yeah. I hear mixed reviews about that. I love his theme tune.
It came when I was out running the other day.
I think the key thing, what Nick said, thought it was a pre-show match. Lads, we forgot about the pre-show.
Nick never watches it, so I don't know.
Survivor Series, I'll make a promise I will watch it. No, I did it for the Head in a Cell, man.
Yeah, you did, Nick, to be fair. What, you don't care about Drew Gulak's PowerPoint presentation, lads?
It didn't happen. That's the only reason to watch it, and then it got cut for time. I was quite happy to sit through 270 slides, rather than sitting and watching the pre-show panel, which is so boring.
But match-wise, the Sasha Banks Alicia Fox match was pretty decent, to be honest.
The best I've seen Alicia Fox for a while.
I think she's underrated as a wrestler, to be honest. I know there was like, she was making a pinfall outside the ring and stuff, but I think it's all part of the crazy character. Mm. I don't think it's how she is as a female wrestler. I think it's all part of the character, and it all adds to it, really.
The beautiful Alicia Fox.
So next up was Alexa Bliss defeated Mickey James. And Oliver, I know you didn't enjoy the build to this feud. Did you enjoy the match?
Yeah, the match was another really good match, and like I said, if you look at the, you know, the women's division and the 205 Live division as well. That was the backbone of the card. I don't know if you guys were aware of it.
Yeah.
There was three women's matches and there was two 205 Live matches plus a segment. That's got to be a first time that I've seen that happen. But in terms of just going back to Alexa Bliss versus Mickey James, it was always going to be good. Not happy with the storyline. Still not happy with the storyline. It makes no sense to demean your opponent because you're beating less of an opponent by doing so. But match-wise, yeah, another quality match. Really enjoyed it.
Isn't Oscar and Mickey James the same age? But the way that...
You're never supposed to ask a lady her age, Chris.
I'm sure they're both 35, 36, but Oscar's presented as this brand new up-and-coming star, and then Mickey James is presented as this has-been. But they're the same age.
A has-been who's been, you know, WWE Women's Champion 6 times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, it's a joke the way she's been presented. And it isn't the first time, is it?
No, she was getting this with that from Layla and McCool. We're doing this to her 10 years ago.
Yeah, they called it to her, didn't they? So, when it comes to in-ring, Mickey James is amazing and so is Alexa Bliss, but this storyline, it's not going to change, but it's not doing any favours to anyone, really.
So obviously it's not going to be Bliss at Oscar at Survivor Series. Do you think that will wait till Royal Rumble?
Are they not running another Raw card before Rumble?
It's Knights of Champions. I don't know. I don't know which brand it is.
SmackDown.
So, they haven't announced another Raw one. So it's just Clash of Champions.
Yeah, they should do New Year's Revolution. They should bring back New Year's Revolution, I think, on first Sunday in the New Year.
That's a good shout, Nick. But yeah, Asuka against Bliss for the title at the Rumble would be a marquee match, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. What were the rumours of there being a women's rumble? I prefer Asuka to be in the rumble and then have a face off with Charlotte at some point. During it. Okay.
Yeah, good idea. Or have, you know, like an Emma or somebody like that win the woman's Royal Rumble and go on to WrestleMania. Be interesting. Just keep building it up over time.
Right, so next up was Enzo Amore won his title back against Kalisto. Thoughts on Enzo winning the title back so soon? I just don't see the point in him losing it. He's going to win.
I think I'm going to be controversial. I think Enzo is a. I reckon he can be an insanely great heel. I really do, because I think you'll get that genuine hate when people actually want this fight to be beating the crap out of him. I really do. No, funny enough, I was playing on Saturday night. I was playing 2K18 with some mates actually, Enzo came out of the rumble and he was just like, right, can we all just team up and just beat the crap out of this bloke? So it's just stuff like that. And I know it's only a little thing, but I think genuine people would like the bloke, especially with the way that like, Graves goes on about it on commentary. JBL used to do it. I think people would generally have the same sort of, especially blokes as well, will have the same sort of hatred towards that, and especially if he's going to then run down people that are not likeable people like he does. And the way he wins matches, I think that'll only help, and he'll get booed by everyone. So I really think, I mean, whilst I think he's in wrestling maybe can be improved slightly, I don't think he's terrible. I think he's pretty good. I think he could be like a really, really good heel in this cruiserweight division and potentially even move up obviously onto the main roster. I really think he could be a great heel on his own there as well.
No, he's got his posse now as well, so he doesn't even have to.
That would help. I think he's helped that he's got a posse, or if he ever goes back to being a heel, if he has like a big bloke alongside him again, like Kaz, obviously in a heel way. I mean, I'm not saying it will be Kaz, but if he has someone alongside him that sort of fight his battles, I think again that would help. So I really think he can be. I think he'll be a very, very good heel. And I think whilst I thought the match was pretty good, I mean, scoring finish. I think when you're building towards a card like that, I don't really have much complaints. And so I think if he can win like that, I think it's more entertaining. I think this cruiserweight run last month has been with Jinder Mahal's WWE title run. To be honest with you, I think some of the segments on Raw have been great. The main events. When he's been actually been finishing his, I think he's been really great as a champion. People may disagree with me, but I really am enjoying it. And so I really like Neville. He's obviously not around at the moment, but I think Enzo can have a different type of being a heel champion. Again, I wouldn't mind it being in a fairly long run with it.
Yeah, I think his lack of wrestling style suits being a heel rather than. It suits him in the tag team, because the whole point of him in the tag team was him getting beaten up, then getting the hot tag. And then Cass finishing the match, but I think his style suits a heel persona more in the face. His cocky attitude is hard to feel sympathy for him when he's getting beaten up. So.
Exactly, and especially when you've got Graves' comments as well, which obviously a lot of people will laugh at that. And agree. So no, I think yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Oliver, what do you think of the match?
I don't think much of the match really. It's just. You know, it's just the same thing, wasn't it? And then, obviously, Enzo wins the title back. You know, Kalisto was amazing. Enzo is incredibly entertaining on the microphone. I completely agree with what Nick's saying. For the longest time, back to his time in NXT, he's been the one that ran his mouth, and Cass had to back him up, and now he's kind of. You know, runs his mouth, and he's got this Zoe Train posse who kind of backs him up, and it's just, yeah, it's been tremendously entertaining watching 205 Live with Enzo as champion, so I can understand why they switched the title back. And I don't think there was much to the match really, because I'm trying to remember what happened. And obviously the ending, I think it's a pretty even match, and then Enzo poked Kalisto in the eyes, didn't he, and won the match from there. So for the entertainment he's brought to 205 Live and the Cruiserweight division, it's a good thing to put the title back on him, but and he'll probably have a long term run of it really. But then during that time you can build up somebody. So yeah, it's probably smart booking overall.
Yeah, so next up was Finn Balor defeating AJ Styles. Was no Pumpkin Balor? Was anyone disappointed with this?
Yeah, I mean, I've said, I thought it was a very good match, but it felt like it was within restraints, like going to have a good match, but I honestly think they could have a WrestleMania caliber match, a match of the year candidate kind of thing. I don't think that's what this was. I thought it was very good, but I thought they were holding back, and if I remember correctly, I was watching this live, so bear with me, but I don't remember AJ hitting a Styles Clash or even going for a Styles Clash.
No, he went for a couple of phenomenal forearms and he had them in the calf crusher. I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember that, but the Styles Clash is really his finisher, isn't it? As well as those are too, but that's what I mean. You kind of put all those things in and obviously Balor's finishing moves as well, and then you can build to an absolutely incredible match. I think I kind of built it up too much in my own mind as to what it would be in terms of a dream match. Like I said, very, very good. A great first match if they're going to have a series and, down the line and stuff. But, a little bit below the dream match that I was expecting, but still a very, very good match.
AJ said on the Raw talk after the show that it was an 18-hour flight back from South America. So they probably didn't have that much time to figure something else.
Exactly. But, yeah. It's just the circumstance, isn't it? Mm. It was still amazing to see, Balor against Styles in a WWE ring.
Do you like it the way they said these are two used to be the leaders of that notorious club in Japan? I wasn't sure if it was on the pre-show or during the match they said that.
Too sweet.
I wish they started the match with a two sweep rather than finish it.
I think it's you look at the situation with like Jimmy Jacobs and stuff. He had a selfie with the Bullet Club and there's been ramifications for that and stuff. It's it's blown out of proportion. Really, it's like they don't want to mention TNA or anything that isn't WWE, really, up until recently with obviously the Cruiserweight Classic and they're talking about Progress and Rev Pro, etc. But yeah, they just mention what they want to mention, don't they?
Yeah, just surprised they mentioned it all. I'm calling it that notorious club. Alright, so next match, Jason
Jordan.
Oh, sorry.
I just want to say I thought that match was excellent.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. No, I could see Oliver's point of view there. I could see the point of views there, but I really enjoyed it personally. It was brilliant.
Like I said, Nick, wrestling's subjective, isn't it? Maybe watching it live took a little bit of the heat away from me, but yeah, I'm not taking anything away from it. Very, very good match, but I just thought match of the year candidate before it happened, and I don't think that's what happened after the match, in all honesty.
Sure.
I'd say if he hadn't been sitting on a plane for 18 hours and he had time to build a couple of weeks build to it, it probably would have been amazing, but what can you do on a couple of hours' notice?
Oh, no, I don't blame anyone in the ring. I just think the way it was booked. Like I said, you would in that situation, given so much time, if you if you put everything into that match and with the two caliber athletes that were in it, it would be would be match of the year. But the match of the year in WWE right now is Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate for the WWE UK Championship at NXT Chicago.
That's my second favourite match. The SummerSlam Fatal Four Way.
I don't think there's anything that can touch the NXT Chicago match, but I understand where Nick's coming from.
I don't know, if you just want a pure wrestling match, then the NXT one. If you just want a spectacle, I'm not thinking of a better word than SummerSlam. Just the first 5 minutes of Strowman taking out Brock.
Yeah. I mean, if you compare it to 2016, obviously, this is a little bit of a cheap plug for the book and stuff, but there were so many matches in 2016 that were of such a high quality, and 2017 can't really compare it to, in my opinion. You know, you had AJ Styles against John Cena.
Yeah, that's what I was about to bring up.
You had the four-way for the IC title from Extreme Rules. You know, you had the Gargano Ciampa revival feud and so on and so forth, really. I don't think this year kind of matches up with that. I don't know what you guys think.
I think the rating on both shows... I'm trying to get my words up. I think the creative juices, when they came straight out of the brand split, was good last year. I think they're kind of running out of ideas on what to do this year.
Well, SmackDown Live at the back end of last year was incredible, wasn't it? Mm. Every week you had to watch SmackDown Live, and now this year it's kind of transferred over to Raw, in all honesty.
All right, so we'll move on to the next match. It's Jason Jordan versus Elias. So throughout the show, Jordan was interrupting Elias by throwing... Did either of you find the throwing salad at him funny?
No.
No.
I'm disrespectful.
I didn't get why he had a trolley full of stuff. Did he bring that with him to the show? Did he find a trolley backstage and tell one of the hands, go fill this up with salad? It would have been funnier if he just had a bag of tomatoes and he'll throw it on him. But just random sloppy wet lettuce leaf just didn't make sense to me. That's... If you're going to throw something, throw a projectile, a tomato.
I just thought it was just everything about Elias. Elias is just he's incredible, in all honesty. From NXT until now, he's a revelation, probably one of the hottest things on the Raw TV program, in all honesty.
I love him. I just think the match was pointless, and both guys deserve better than being the toilet break match.
Well, I'm not sure you can blame, but one of you guys said it would be Elias versus Jason Jordan on the prediction part of the show of No Mercy, I think.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so blame you, Chris.
I just couldn't think of any other. It's either going to be Matt Hardy versus Elias, or it's going to be Jason Jordan versus Elias. That's all he had left.
Yeah, so you're thoroughly to blame for this.
I wouldn't have put it in that position. I wouldn't have had it as a toilet, pretty much.
I thought it was alright. It's just the things that went on before it kind of built to the match, really, including the pre-show, which neither of you watched, except for me. So he kind of built from the pre-show, and I thought it was like a funny little thing throughout the show, and then the match was just, you know, just a match.
Yeah, it was a bit of a dodgy finish, so do you think that'll play into a future storyline?
It looked like, to me, like a botch, to be honest. I really thought it was a botch.
When they do botches, they don't tend to go back and show it over and over again, if it's intended they do. Yeah. So.
That's true, and it depends on Vince, what you just told to say. Oh, yeah, just play on that for a second.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was a botch, but I could be wrong. I don't really know how they're going to introduce that to a storyline. I don't see the logic behind it. So I really think it was just a botch. It was a one-off, and I think they'll probably have a rematch on Raw, and Jordan will win clean this time. And then I don't know, but I'm a big fan of them both. Elias has grown on me as well. I think it'd be nice if Elias can have a feud where he goes over. I think he's lacked that since I can't remember a big feud that he's won. So I think he needs a big feud to win. Obviously, he can't really do Jordan because he's obviously involved in an ongoing story on an angle. But I think Elias does need a bit of a storyline win.
I think that's only his second pinfall defeat. I think he lost to Finn. I can't think of another pinfall he's had.
Well, I can't really think of anyone. Yeah, exactly. He hasn't really been involved in any feuds sort of thing, has he?
Am I right in thinking that he had a couple of wins over Dean Ambrose a few months ago?
Yeah, he was in the middle of the Dean-Miz feud, wasn't it?
I think it was more Miz taking large assists.
Oh, okay. But still, he beat Ambrose.
I think maybe he could do wins over, like, maybe, I don't know. Whilst he, Jeff said, maybe he could get a feud over Hardy or Apollo Crews, maybe he could Champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea, Sonic.
Right, so next up was the main event. So it was Kurt Angle, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins versus Braun Strowman, Cesaro, Sheamus, Kane, and The Miz. 3-on-5 handicap TLC match. So what did you think of Kurt replacing Roman?
I wasn't a big fan. Whilst it was great to see Kurt back in the ring, I think they should have saved. It's a tough one, because I don't know why they've done it, obviously, because they want to keep the buys up, but I don't think they should have done it so quickly. I think Angle, they should have made it a massive deal, Angle returning to the ring. Obviously, I know it's not ideal, and it's probably the best solution they could have done. Personally, I would have put Balor in the match. Or had like a shocking, if they could have got like a shocking return, someone to come out with Dean or Seth like that, then I maybe like Jericho or someone to just be a one night only stint, or like a shocking person like that. But to do Angle, I think they could have storyline told it and him getting like provoked into coming out of retirement or something. So that's why I didn't really like it like that. But I'm not getting wrong, it was an amazing match. I did love seeing Angle back in the ring. I think to have it sort of 2 days notice of him returning, I think I didn't really enjoy.
Oliver, does it show a lack of depth on the Raw main event that Kurt was the only real option?
I think, the 5-on-3 stipulation with basically all of the upper mid-card main event really could have took away from the whole show. It didn't in the end because of reasons that we've already talked about. But I think, just to take what Nick said for a second, in terms of Kurt Angle being built up before he came back, that would have been a good idea, and I think I would have gone with a surprise, who's going to join Dean and Seth in this main event. In terms of the lack of depth on the roster...
I was trying to think who else they could have had. They could have had Brock.
That's what I'm trying to think.
Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe's still injured. I mean, I think the key thing is...
He's ready to come back.
Reigns and Bray Wyatt are taking out the situation, and there isn't really anyone. I can't think of anyone in the that they're holding back from the Raw roster that they could have put into the main event position. So I understand why it was Kurt Angle, and I understand why Balor went against AJ, because obviously from a dream match scenario, but I would have probably announced Balor against Styles because of the history, and then kept the main event partner as a mystery. Yeah.
Should have brought in Cassius Ohno, because originally he was going to be the third member of the Shield, wasn't he?
Yeah.
it's going to be him instead of Roman Reigns, but then Vince saw Roman Reigns. I want him. What's next? So did you get an impression from the commentators that Kurt Angle hadn't wrestled for 11 years? Anyone?
They made it so, but once again, they forgot about his tenure in TNA, didn't they?
Yeah, because he's in TNA longer than he was in WWE.
Exactly, and he was with What Culture against Alberto El Patron.
Yep.
His last UK match and stuff. So WWE just wants it to be about WWE, don't they? So it's their pay per view; they can do what they want, and can't they really? But it was the greatest hits of Kurt Angle, like I said, to the wrestling promoter, and that's absolutely fine. Really, it was like Nick said, it was a really good match. It took my match of the night, in all honesty. I really enjoyed it. Everything about it, storylines have progressed, and the in-ring action and obviously the stipulation and stuff all worked really well.
What did you think of Kurt coming through the crowd with the Shield? Would you prefer him having his own entrance, or did you like him being all shielded up?
I thought it was quite cool, actually, coming out through the crowd. I quite like it, it was pretty cool.
He looked like somebody who'd won a prize. He had the smile on his face. I get to spend a day.
To be fair, he got his entrance later on as well when he came back from the injury.
Yeah.
He got that. So no, I thought it was quality coming out of the Shield. Then they obviously got his entrance done in there as well. So no, it was brilliant.
So what were some of your favourite spots of the night?
I quite like the double Ambrose and Seth both jumping off the ladders.
Yeah.
That was quite cool. Quite enjoyed Kane choke slamming Strowman through the stage. I did like Al. My final one was Angle slam on Cesaro.
Yeah, well, how high did he get him?
It was brilliant, because he went to Angle slam and he goes, oh, hang on, there's a table there. you're going through that. So that was pretty cool.
I felt sorry for Dean Ambrose on a couple of those tables.
They didn't like him, that was it.
Yeah, they didn't like him at all. And my favourite one of the night was the pulling of the chairs.
That was wicked. Yeah. That happened a couple of years ago, didn't Cena do that? I'm sure. The same spot.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I've seen it before. Do you think, when Angle got taken out, do you think the same thing would have happened if Roman was there?
No, because Roman's super.
I know.
He's indestructible.
My thinking is they need to train the crowd to cheer when they hear that music. So they could have took him out and then had him come back later to a pop to train the crowd.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Because to rewrite a whole 35-minute match in a day, it's a difficult thing. It's just something I thought of. I was just wondering when I was watching it whether maybe he wouldn't have been out for as long as Kurt was out. But. Right, and then what did you think of the whole bin lorry? The crowd was shouting, "You got murdered," I think, was it? That was murder, the crowd shouting.
I think, like I said, just the whole Strowman being in the match, I mean, you know, I've said this guy to you guys on Messenger and stuff. The fans were cheering him before he was taking on Lesnar, so it made absolutely no sense that he was on the villain side of this team, apart from the Shield took him out on Raw and stuff. It didn't make any sense. And then, I guess, by doing what they've done, you know, he's going to come back as a hero to take out the Bar and Miz and Kane and stuff. And you're basically back to where you was before. But, it didn't make sense. Cool visual, obviously. But, yeah.
Yeah, Nick? Did you like the Bin Lorry spot?
Not really. I don't know. I thought...
Is it just a throwback to Strowman calling everybody garbage earlier in the year? I'm trying to think.
I don't know, really. But it was, I don't know, I thought it was pretty crap to be honest.
It was very late 90s, I thought. So.
I don't really get why everyone was... So I felt a bit sorry for Strowman. What did he do wrong? I was going to say, all he's done is push Kane up. He's been chokeslammed through the stage. He's come back to get revenge, and his whole team's taken out on him.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they just needed a way to get Strowman out the match so they could do the finishing sequence without him and still make him look strong. So once Enzo came out, he destroyed Sheamus and Cesaro when they came to attack him. You should know by now, you don't attack people one-on-one. You've watched action movies your whole life. So the finishing sequence, Kane got double-speared to the barricade. That was a nice tribute to Roman Reigns, I thought.
Yeah, I thought that was quite cool. I like that. You said it was a nice tribute to Reigns, obviously he couldn't be there. I thought that was pretty cool.
And then Miz got hit. The Miz hit Skull Crushing finale on Angle. How good is Angle at getting his shoulder up just the last second? He hasn't lost the trick, I don't think.
Oh, I thought Angle was brilliant. When he got involved, like I say, it was a bit of it was a bit weird the way Angle was at times just directing traffic, but when he was getting involved, he was loving it. And especially when he came back down from that injury. I say those Angle slams were class, especially the one from Cesaro through the table.
And then he did his best Roman Reigns impression when he did the Shield powerbomb.
I like that.
Yeah, that was wicked.
Did you hear what Groves called it? He called it the Olympic Shield bomb, which I thought was quite cool.
Oh, okay, that's quite good.
So, all in all, I thought the match was quite fun. I think it was a bit long. Was it 40 minutes long?
Probably just because they had to extend, because... nothing else on. And I can't imagine, it'd be a bit harsh to make Styles go for quite a while, probably, given that, obviously, he just got back from, obviously, he had his flight and everything. But they probably had to extend it more than anything.
But overall, I thought it was a good show. It's probably in my top three we've reviewed so far.
It was better than I thought it was going to be, because I don't think there was much expectation really from everyone going into it. given that there was only really one match that people were, well, before Styles actually replaced Wyatt, there probably wasn't only a, there was only really one match people were dying to see. So it was better than I, the whole show was better than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, but yeah, as I say, I don't, it's still not, I think my, it's, it wasn't as good as Hell in a Cell, but it was still a pretty decent pay-per-view from, as I say, from given they didn't, they had a depleted roster, they did well out of it.
I think the key thing is when you you go into a show, Nick, going with the lowest possible expectations, and then you, you'll enjoy it more, I think.
I said the rest of the card, I was only really expecting things from the AJ Finn match, and the, I didn't know what to expect from a 3-on-5 match. Hell, just seemed so lopsided to the heels, I didn't know what to expect from the whole match.
I can't remember a bad match being on the card, to be honest. And then you had, like, Emma Asker was really good. Bliss versus James was really good as well. Balor against Styles was very good. And obviously the main event as well. So, yeah, that's a pretty good card, in all honesty. Really enjoyable show.
So, going forward, I've heard a bit of a mixed reaction to the possible Strowman-Kane feud. You think it might be a bit of a step down from Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns? But he's a legend. You just have them beat each other up for 10 minutes at the next pay-per-view.
In all honesty, though, you know, people probably had the same concerns before Strowman took on Big Show, and then they brought out the WCW versus NWO World Tour moves and blew everyone away. So
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's this is two big men who can really move. Do you know what I mean? They can. It's not two plodding, wrestlers. It's two big men who can move, and I'm sure the match will exceed people's expectations.
Oh yeah! You're the Macho Man Randy Savage, and every week I listen to the Action Now Premier League podcast on V2 Football. With listen before, yeah, snap into it! Dig it!
So before we finish, we'll do our predictions for the Survivor Series card. It's Brand Warfare, like it was last year. It's going to be Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal. So it seems to be it's going to be all champions against each other.
Yeah, I think it was better last year, to be honest, in terms of a champion against the challenger from the other brand.
Yeah.
Because you go into it and you're like, okay, well, if that person wins, then they'll change brands or they'll move the title over to...
Yeah, that's right. I like that, yeah.
I thought that was wicked. Whereas going in champion versus champion, it takes away a lot of it, really.
I'm guessing none of the titles are going to be on the line, will they?
I would imagine so. Yeah, I wouldn't suspect that they would be on the line, which is a shame based on last year.
It's heels on heels as well. A couple of them. That's what they're going to do. Apart from the tag team, it's going to be Corbin versus The Miz. And Natalya versus Bliss, and that's two heels on heels.
Yeah, there's a reported in the Spotlight that they're actually not happy with being that way, and they're hoping to change one of the women's title and one of the ICUS to a face going into the match. So in the next, we've got 4 weeks to do it.
It'll make for interesting TV, but it's kind of a... It's kind of a shock factor, isn't it, really? I understand not wanting to go in like villain versus villain and stuff, but...
Out of the Miz and Corbin, who would you want to lose the title? And who would you want to take the title off them if they're going to go face?
I don't know, I think the Miz might drop it to Jordan.
Jordan versus Corbin?
Yeah.
It's got a nice ring to it, anyway.
And then you could drop... Tyler could drop it to Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte versus Bliss will be a decent match.
Yeah. Well, in all honesty, if it doesn't go to Jordan, who else is going to win the title?
Well, that's more what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone else.
Unless they do Finn Balor, just out of the blue. You don't know how long Bray Wyatt's going to belt for.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, with Wyatt, Bill.
That's why I would have moved Neville out of the Cruiserweight division and into an IC title feud, especially with him kind of turning, you know, due to losing to Enzo and stuff. That would have been interesting.
So they've also announced it's going to be Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Who do you think should be on Team Raw? Or do you think that it's going to be Kurt Angle versus Shane? Do you think they'll both be in the match?
I think they both will be in the match. I think it'll be Angle, Cesaro, Sheamus, Strowman, and maybe not Strowman. I think Strowman might mess with Kane. If they're allowed to do Raw versus Raw matches. Maybe Angle. Well, I don't know, actually. I don't think Angle. Maybe not, then, actually. Angle might not be in the match. Maybe it might be Strowman, Kane, Cesaro, Sheamus, and that's a bit too hillish. I don't know. Well, to be fair, there's not really many main. There's not really many faces on Raw.
I'll have a stab at this. Reigns, if he's back.
You could do the Shield and.
Yeah, they've already got a match.
No, they're already in the match, Chris. Tag titles.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So, I'm going to go with Reigns, Bray Wyatt, if they're both back.
Finn?
The Butler and.
Finn Balor?
Yeah, a good shout. Balor.
This is AJ.
What, and who else? The Bar.
The Bar, yeah. Against.
So it'd be AJ Rude.
AJ Nakamura.
Bobby Roode.
Ty Dillinger. Oh.
Orton.
Yeah, Bobby Roode.
Yeah, Bobby Roode, yeah. Good. Or Dolph Ziggler, or, yeah.
I don't think they'll throw Ziggler in. And then the lab, there's also being announced the women's match with Alicia Fox as the Raw team captain.
Spoiler!
Oh, sorry.
I wasn't sure if you'd seen up to that point, Nick.
I reckon Raw will be Oscar. Banks, Bailey,
Fox,
and
Jax is just back. Ever,
Jax will be back. Right, versus it sort of picks itself, isn't it? Carmella, Tamina, Charlotte. Which she's obviously all Charlotte or Natalia.
Becky Lynch.
Lynch and
Naomi.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Do you think they'll leave the Strowman Kane match for a later date? Because I think Kane's back in his politics position. I think the election's in a couple of weeks for the mayor. So I can't see him being on the road with being the mayor, campaigning, and then go straight into a match.
Well, when would you leave it to? When would you have this match?
New Year's resolution.
It just makes sense within the story of the pay-per-view. The story is SmackDown versus Raw. That's why I don't see how they're going to have I'm guessing they'll have a Cruiserweight match on the pre-show. Cause they had
I was thinking they'll have a Cruiserweight elimination match as well.
Yeah.
Based on the... have you seen up to the... No. Okay, so Cruiserweight elimination match will be...
Enzo's gang.
Enzo's gang against Kalisto.
Do you reckon it'll be 5-5? Because I think they're pretty split 7-7 on 205 Live. There is seven baddies and seven goodies, so they could go as high as 7-7. If you put TJP as a goodie, you could have 7-7 elimination.
I think the key thing is just to have an elimination match to give them a respect that 205 Live deserves to have an elimination match at
They're going to have a 2-hour pre-show, so they're probably going to have about 3 matches on the pre-show.
Well, if you look what you said about TJP and stuff, you could sub in TJP and Grand Metalik, for example. Oh, no. Name escapes me. Someone else, and you could put Enzo against somebody as well as a one-on-one Cruiserweight title match.
Possible.
As well, or you could really stack the card against Enzo by having like a fatal 4-way or a 5-way or a 6-pack challenge or something.
That could be just to break up the tag team matches. You could also have a lower card match. You could have like Matt Hardy, Goldust, R-Truth, Jordan, Elias, Samson against, struggling to think who's left on SmackDown. Sin Cara, the Bludgeon Brothers.
Did you say a wild card match, Chris?
Just another, on the pre-show, I'm just thinking of a Raw versus SmackDown match. James Ellsworth could be on the SmackDown team. I'm struggling to think of other people here.
Yeah, it is a struggle once you get past a certain point, isn't it?
Oh, there must be one more bloke. Yeah, I know, we haven't put the New Day could be in the SmackDown team.
Yeah, they could be in the main SmackDown team. That's what I was kind of, no pun intended, wrestling with.
So you could have AJ Nakamura in the New Day.
Could be in the team, couldn't they, sir?
But that's fun. We'll do a proper one in 2 weeks when we do our next show. would it? Because the cars will pretty much be set in 2 weeks. So we'll do a full prediction show on both Survivor Series and the War Games paper shows. It's getting too late. What time is it? 11:20.
that's the wonders of live recording.
So as I said, in 2 weeks we'll be doing predictions for both NXT War Games and the Survivor Series. We'll also be counting down the top 10 big man champions. So to qualify for this, they need to be 6'9" plus or £350 plus. So if you want to email us your suggestions, it's bbgwpod@gmail.com. So if there's nothing else, lads.
You just wanted me to sort about the polls on Twitter, didn't you?
Yeah, so.
The show itself got 30% excellent and 30% good, so that's a draw. And match of night was, if I remember correctly, a landslide for Balor versus Styles.
Yeah, so a couple of people put other, but then didn't say in the comments what the other was.
Yeah. Because that's the really weird thing with the Twitter polls. You only get 4 options.
Yeah.
When obviously there's 6 or 8 matches that happen. So I picked out the 3 that, you know, jumped out for me. And then you've just got to add over because there's still 4 matches in there or what have you. So, yeah.
Do you want to gloat about WrestleMania again?
Boy. No. 66%.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, Matt.
Do you want to gloat about WrestleMania again before we go?
So as previously mentioned, I will be going to WrestleMania.
Yours, Chris.
I'm officially on the road to WrestleMania, and I cannot bloody wait. Can't stand the days to go, but yeah, no, just still pinching myself that it's actually happening.
So
if you start singing the WrestleMania song, Nick, that's the end.
That's good.
Alright, so thanks for listening, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.